Please join me today in 2 Samuel chapter 16, starting at verse number 23. We spent the last two sessions going over some of the psalms that I think might have been generated during the time of Absalom's coup. Remember that David had to evacuate the city of Jerusalem, and on his way away, he got word that Ahithophel, his former counselor, has betrayed him and become the advisor of Absalom. And David was so concerned about that that he prayed to God against Ahithophel and even sent another old friend of his, Hushai, to Jerusalem to try to provide some sort of balance against the counsel of Ahithophel. Well, the first thing that Ahithophel advised Absalom was to very clearly demonstrate that he had broken with his father by having sexual relationships with David's concubines that he left behind at Jerusalem. These concubines were secondary wives whose children would not have been counted as heirs to the throne in any way, shape, or form. So David left them there because he didn't see them as being a threat to Absalom. He figured Absalom would leave them alone. But because of Ahithophel's advice, these women were effectively raped and demoralized in front of all the people of Israel. So David is very angry about Ahithophel because he has great power. So that's where I want us to start, is 2 Samuel 16:23, which says this: "Now in those days, the counsel that Ahithophel gave was as if one consulted the word of God. And so was all the counsel of Ahithophel esteemed both by David and by Absalom." So Ahithophel was the top guy when it came to giving advice to the king. It was true when David was ruling, and as soon as Absalom took control, Ahithophel became part of that coup and gave his full advice to the success of Absalom's kingdom and to the detriment of David. Chapter number 17. "Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, 'Let me choose 12,000 men. So 1,000 men times the number 12, because that's the number of tribes there are. And I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he's weary and discouraged and throw him into a panic, and all the people who are with him will flee. I will strike down only the king, and I will bring all the people back to you as a bride comes home to his husband, to her husband. You seek the life of only one man, and all the people will be at peace.'" So Ahithophel gives this advice on that same day that they'd arrived at Jerusalem, and Absalom had done the whole thing with the concubines. Ahithophel says, "Give me 12,000 soldiers, and I will run David down. I will panic them so badly that they will abandon David. I will kill him and him alone. And then the kingdom will be fully yours, because everybody will be on board with your reign by that." And David, of course, was only going to make it as far as the Jordan River the first day of his departure from Jerusalem. So it would have been very easy for Ahithophel to carry this plan out if it had been put into effect immediately. Verse number 4 says, "And the advice seemed right in the eyes of Absalom and all the elders of Israel." So they believed, that sounds like a pretty good plan. If we could somehow kill David alone, you know, kind of cut the head of the snake off, everything else will fall apart and will come under Absalom's reign. But Absalom, because of God's intervention, decides that he'd like to hear from another counselor, widely regarded, who has remained in Jerusalem and has given the impression that he's on board with Absalom's kingdom as well. And he's done this because David asked him to be an undercover agent. Verse number 5. Absalom said, "Call Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what he has to say." And when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom said to him, "Thus has Ahithophel spoken. Shall we do as he says? If not, you speak." So Absalom, who is right around in his 30s, his probably just at the very beginning of his mid-30s, like 33, 34, something in that neighborhood, he has grown up with his father depending upon Ahithophel and Hushai. And now both of these gentlemen are in his court, and he feels like, "I need to get the best possible advice here to make sure that David, my father, does not survive and that the kingdom is fully mine. So let's hear your plan. This is Ahithophel's plan, Hushai. What do you think?" Hushai said to Absalom, "Well, this time the counselor that Ahithophel has given is not good." Hushai said, "You know that your father and his men are mighty men, and that they are enraged." The literal Hebrew is that they're very bitter of soul, like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. So they're cornered like wild animals, and you know that that's a dangerous thing. Continuing. "Besides, your father is an expert in war. He's not going to spend the night with the people. Behold, even now he's hidden himself in one of the pits or in some other place. And as soon as some of the people fall at the first attack, whoever hears it will say, 'There's been a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom.' And then even the valiant men whose heart is like the heart of a lion will utterly melt with fear, for all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and that those who are with him are valiant men." So Hushai says, "Well, I don't think it's going to go like Ahithophel thinks. Ahithophel thinks that the people will panic and they'll scatter and that David will be able to be killed by himself. More than likely, you're going to find that David is like a cornered wild animal, and so will his men be. They are devoted to him. He's not going to stay with the non-combatant people that would panic. He's going to be in some hiding place off to the side, and the moment you attack, he's going to come whirling around on you, and he's going to take a lot of your people out. And the moment you start taking casualties, the people are going to hear about that. Some of your own men are going to start panicking, thinking they backed the wrong guy, and that David's going to make a comeback, and then everything's going to fall apart." All right, so those are the two bits of advice. Ahithophel says you need to attack David now while he's weak, and just put an end to him alone, and everybody else will fall in line. While Hushai says, "No, he is a cornered wild animal. You attack him, he's going to fight back, you'll lose a bunch of people, and you'll lose the momentum of the coup." Hushai goes on and gives this counsel. Verse 11, "My counsel is that all Israel be gathered to you from Dan to Beersheba, as the sand by the sea for multitude, and that you go to battle in person. And so we shall come upon him in some place where he's to be found. We shall light upon him as dew falls on the ground. And of him and all the men with him, no one will be left. If he withdraws into a city, then all Israel will bring ropes to that city. We shall drag it into the valley. Not even pebble will be found there." So Hushai's advice is, you need to just let David go right now. build up this massive military force, track him down, and do to him like a sledgehammer on a fly. You just wipe him and anyone with him out. So that's Hushai's advice. Now, of course, he doesn't want that to happen to David. He's on David's side. He's just trying to keep Ahithophel's advice from being followed because that could potentially bring an end to David. Because David is kind of panicked right now. And his men are kind of panicked right now. And if Ahithophel were to attack David and kill him, it would likely result in the coup being pulled off. All right, so God makes sure that David is protected on this day by the advice of Hushai being followed. Verse 14, Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord, or he who is, had ordained the defeat of the good counsel of Ahithophel, so that he who is might bring harm upon Absalom." Now that's the wording of a prophet that's writing this down, that God is the one that made sure that David was protected at this time by the advice of Ahithophel not being followed. Verse 15, "Then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, 'Thus and so did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus and so have I counseled. Now therefore, send quickly and tell David, do not stay at the fords of the wilderness, but by all means pass over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up.'" Remember that David had left in place a bit of a spy network. Hushai is on the inside. He's trying to keep Ahithophel from giving good advice. He's done that now. But that information needs to be passed on to David. Hushai is to tell the two priests. And then the two priests are going to get messages to their sons who are outside the city. That comes in verse 17. "Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz were waiting at En-Rogel." As far as we can tell, En-Rogel is a spring somewhere in the southern part of the Valley of Kidron, just not too far from the southern entrance to the city of Jerusalem at this time. So the message is going to go from Hushai to the two priests, who then send the message outside the city to their two sons. And from there, these two guys are going to rush off to the Jordan Valley down by Jericho and let David know, don't stick around on this side of the Jordan. Get to the other side as fast as you can. So verse 17 again. "Jonathan and Ahimaaz were waiting at En-Rogel. A female servant was to go and tell them, and they were to go and tell King David, for they were not to be seen entering the city. But a young man saw them and told Absalom." So in the process of this information being passed to the two young sons, when I say young, we're probably talking about in their 20s, the two sons of the high priests, somebody that is loyal to Absalom sees this conversation going on between the woman and these two sons of the high priests and reports that back to Absalom's people. "So both of them went away quickly. They came into the house of a man at Bahurim who had a well in his courtyard, and they went down into it." Now, Bahurim is between Jerusalem and Jericho. It's on the road. So these two guys take off, the two kids. When I say kids here again, they're probably in their 20s. This would be Jonathan and Ahimaaz. They take off trying to make that journey down to Jericho, and They only get so far as Bahurim when they realize they're being followed. They're being pursued. So they decide they've got to hide wait out these pursuers. So verse number 20, let's see, where are we at? Verse number 18. It says, but a young man saw them and told Absalom. So both of them went away quickly. They came to the house of a man at Bahurim who had a well in his courtyard, and they went down into it. So they go down inside the well. Now, don't think of a well shaft that goes straight down. Sometimes these wells were actually natural cavern openings with water down in the bottom. And so they might have like little side alcoves. So they climbed down the man-made part of the well until they got one of the little side alcoves, and then they hid inside there, waiting until they were signaled that it was safe. Now, the woman of this house took and spread a covering over the mouths of the well and scattered grain on it, and nothing was known about it. So she tries to make it even look like this is not even a well. Pardon me. Now, they said, when Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house, they said, where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan? And the woman said to them, well, they've gone over to the brook of water, meaning they've headed down to the Jordan crossing. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. So she tells them, well, they went by here not too long ago, heading toward the Jordan. And probably, you know, the same sort of thing that we see in the story at Jericho. If you hurry up, you'll catch them before they get anywhere near the Jordan. And so these pursuers, they chase farther down the road, but they never find Jonathan and Ahimaaz. And so they turn around and backtrack back to Jerusalem. And once they come back past Bahurim, it is now safe for Jonathan and Ahimaaz to continue their journey. So verse 21, after they'd gone, the men came up out of the well, and they went and told King David. So they went and provided David the information he needed. They said to David, arise, go over quickly to the water, for thus and so has Ahithophel counseled against you. So David arose and all the people who were with him, and they crossed the Jordan. By daybreak, not one was left who had not crossed the Jordan. So this is happening during the middle of the night. When Ahithophel saw that his counsel had not been followed, so the next day, when the word gets back that David was at the Jordan River, but now he's crossed the Jordan River, he's on his way to a fortified city on the eastern side of the Jordan. When Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his donkey and went off home to his own city. He set his house in order and then hanged himself, and he died and was buried in the tomb of his father. Now, why does he do this? Because Ahithophel realizes, because David wasn't killed that first day after the coup took place, when his advice to secure Absalom's kingdom was not followed to the letter, and so David got away, he fully expects that David will be back. And when David is back, he's done. And so he decides to commit suicide instead of facing the consequences of being a traitor to David. Let's follow David now. Verse 24. Then David came to Mahanaim. Now you remember when David first became king, that a son of Saul was put on the throne at Mahanaim, because Abner, the commander of the United Israeli armies at that time, thought that it was a safe zone. So David has now gone to that exact same place for apparently the exact same reason. it is a secure site when dealing with a usurper to the throne. In this case, David's son, Absalom. Absalom crossed the Jordan with all the men of Israel. So now he's following the advice of Hushai, which Hushai never intended his advice to be helpful to Absalom. It was a delay tactic. But Absalom has now gotten together this great big army, and he's going to attack David's army on the east side of the Jordan Valley. So Absalom crossed the Jordan with all the men of Israel. Now Absalom had set Amasa over the army instead of Joab. And Amasa was the son of a man named Ithra, the Ishmaelite, who had married Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zeruiah, Joab's mother. So this is another relative of David's family. So this is one of Absalom's relatives, a close relative that he trusts to be over the Israeli army at this time, rather than Joab. So Israel and Absalom encamped in the land of Gilead. So they're planning to attack David's forces at Mahanaim. Verse 27, when David came to Mahanaim, Shobi, the son of Nahash from Rabbah of the Ammonites, and Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite from Rogelim, brought beds, basins, earthen vessels, wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans and lentils, honey and curds, and sheep and cheese from the herd for David and the people with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. So a little reminder here that David does have supporters. And those supporters on the eastern side of the Jordan Valley, once they found out that David has come to Mahanaim as an evacuation, rapid evacuation of the city of Jerusalem, they show up at Mahanaim with all sorts of supplies for David's people. Chapter 18. Then David mustered the men who were with him and set over them commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. And David sent out the army, one-third under the command of Joab, one-third under the command of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and one-third under the command of Ittai, the Gittite. So David is able to get together enough of an army of supporters that he can divide it up into three large sections, each one of them underneath someone that he trusts to support his kingdom. Two of them are his nephews, Joab and Abishai. The other is a man from Gath, a Philistine, who has come to David and given him his allegiance along with his Philistine command, at least 600 Philistines. So the king then said to his men, I myself will also go out with you. But the men said, you shall not go out, for if we flee, they will not care about us. If half of us die, they're not going to care about us, but you are worth 10,000 of us. Therefore, it's better for you to send us help from the city. So David wants to go out at the head of the army and direct all the commands himself. But his guys respond back, that would be foolish. That would be unwise. Because the moment you're killed, the war's over. Because you're the one that is the king that they want to execute. So you need to stay in the city, safe and secure. You can kind of direct things from here for support to us. And so the king said to them, whatever seems best to you, I will do. So the king stood by the side of the gate while all the army marched out by hundreds and by thousands. And the king ordered Joab and Abishai and Ittai, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. Let's talk about ages again here. We're talking about the 35th year of David's kingdom, apparently. So David is about 65. Absalom is about 34 or so. And David gives public instructions to his three commanders. I want you to capture my son Absalom. I don't want you to kill him. I want this to get worked out between him and me. And so verse 5 specifically says that all the people heard when the king gave orders to all the commanders about Absalom. So everyone in the army that's marched out of the gates of Mahanaim, they know that David is instructed that Absalom is to be spared. He is not to be killed. And so verse number 6 says, the army went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was fought in the forest of Ephraim. Now the forest of Ephraim appears to be someplace on the eastern side of the Jordan Valley, but close enough to the hills of Ephraim that it's known by that name. And the people of Absalom are trashed. It says the men of Israel were defeated there by the servants of David, and the loss there was great on that day, 20,000 men. And the battle spread over the face of all the country, and the forest devoured more people that day than the sword. So the casualty rate was high in the fight, but even more people died because of the environment of this old growth forest. And that's where we'll pick up the story tomorrow.